Namaskar and once again a very warm welcome to Awakening with Brahma Kumaris. We've got a taste of feeling peaceful in the last episode, if you remember. Who doesn't want to feel peaceful, happy and loving? Can we have this feeling always in our life? Can we actually travel in this journey and reach out to the aims of life? Can we really find out who am I and why I'm here? These are few questions. These are few things which we really want to know. And through this journey, we'll try to explore who really am I and what is the relationship I have with myself or with God or with the other people around. And to take us through this journey, it's a great privilege to have with us Brahma Kumari, Sister Jayanti, who is the European Director of Brahma Kumaris and also the NGO representative at United Nations, Geneva. A warm welcome, Brahma Kumari, Sister Jayanti.
Om Shanti and Namaskar.
Om Shanti. When we talked about this, another myth is like, you know, talking about spirituality, it should come in the end of life, you know. While you are like, you know, reaching a level where there's nothing else to think about, then be spiritual. But now we realize that with you as an example and with a lot of things which we are going through today, is like it should be an ongoing process.
Well, if you think about it, every human being is a combination of two things, the being and the human. The human is the body, and we know everything about it that there is to know, including the brain. But the being is that inner being, the living being, the spiritual spark of life, the being of light, the soul. And how much do we know about that? In fact, most times we ignore it. And so it's like living life with one leg, because you know only half of the story. You only know about the physical half, and you don't know about the inner being, the spiritual being. And so as a human being, we're crippling ourselves if you're trying to live life without knowing the spirit. And so definitely it's not that when I'm old and grey that then I start searching. But if I can understand these things at an early age, and the earlier the better, I would say, it means I start living life in a holistic way. You know, now they use this word holistic a lot.
Yeah.
But the word holism, first of all, starts with me. Am I making myself whole? Am I coming together as a human and a being? And sometimes, of course, what's happened is that we become human doings, because we don't know about being part. So I prove who I am by the things that I do. But the things that I do are going to change from moment to moment.
But now, we want to know the second half, who we really are, you know. We understand the human part, this body, me. I know everything about myself. I feel that. But I don't know about the being part. We are ready. I think we all are now. We're looking forward to you to take us through this journey of who really am I.
My first step is this awareness that there's two aspects that make up the human being. And the being that I am internally, I can't see with these eyes. The things that I can see are only the external expression. But just reflect on this for a minute. All the things that are most important about the inner being are the things that are not visible. My thoughts, my feelings, my emotions, my personality, my memory, my conscience. Can you weigh these? Can you measure these? Can you touch these?
No.
So, and yet this is actually what makes me as an individual unique. Because, you know, if you were to describe the external form, this amount of length, this amount of weight, this amount of color of eyes or color of hair or whatever, whatever, there could be billions of people that fit that description. But what makes me unique, different to every single other one of those billions, it's not these external things, but it's the things that are inside. And the problem has been that the association in our mind about the identity that I have has always been with the body. For example, first definition would be gender. From your cradle, people see you that way and you're told, boy, girl, boy, girl. And yet if you look at the human spirit is the same. And today we know this more and more. Say 20 years ago, we thought that a girl had completely separate feelings to a boy. And I think we've moved away from that understanding. Mm. And we now realize that the feelings that are there within the girl child are the same as within the boy child. So our feelings are irrelevant of gender, age. We so much identify with young and middle-aged and old. We identify with it in our mind, but also others see us in that way. But you must have seen how here's a little child, and yet you look into their eyes and there's a wisdom that seems to be eternal. Or you meet an old person and there's a sparkle in their eyes which is like that of a child.
Mm.
And so again, the gender difference is one thing, the age discrimination is another thing, but the spirit is that which is the same in all, the same and yet still unique. It's not so easy to get away from this identification with the body because it's penetrated so deeply within us. But that's what we have to do as the first step. Start becoming aware of this being that I am, the being of light, quite separate from this physical body. I, the inner being, the spiritual being, the eternal being, using this body as an instrument.
Okay, so now the conflict will come. If there are two separate people, you know, there are two separate beings, or like whatever, one human being has two separate, I should say, aspects. One is this body and one is this internal, whoever, you know, like, because that's again a very, it's not very easy to accept, because we've lived all our lives thinking this is what I am, actually. Who is supreme? You know, because actually, this body, or it's very difficult now for me even to say that I, the body, or, you know, I, the internal being.
Okay. Look at our language, and it's not even a question of Hindi and English, but it comes in every vocabulary, every language under the sun. We use this word I, and we use this word my, and it's quite different in their meanings. And when we say my, who is it that's saying my body, or my hand, or my arm, or my leg? It must be something separate that's owning and possessing and claiming that ownership, that this is my hand.
And it remains my hand only.
But who's speaking? Is it the hand that's saying my hand?
No.
It can't be. But is it the body that's speaking and saying my hand? Well, the body, again I say my body. So who is it who's actually speaking? And you begin to think about this, and you realize that there's actually I, the being within, that is there, which has ownership of this body. And so is saying, this is mine. A word that we use within our language, which gets a little bit confusing, sometimes we say, my soul. But who is speaking? Is it the body who's speaking and saying my soul? And so in fact I can't say my soul. I can say I, the soul, and I, the soul, says this is my body. And the problems that have come up in our life, the dysfunctionality that's come up, is because we've not understood this very fundamental aspect of human identity.
I understand, you know, because when I say I, the Kanupriya, you know, I, Kanupriya, say this, it means like it is me whom talking about. Similarly, when I say I, the soul, it means that becomes supreme.
Yes.
And when I say, I never say I, the body, actually. You know, I always say I, my body.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
It comes up within our language in different ways, and we get clues of all of these things, but we forget. Or it's like when you have connection with somebody, what is that connection? it isn't a connection of, you know, just I shake your hands or I hold your hands, but it's an inner connection that is there. Or sometimes there's a communication that happens and you don't even need words. And sometimes it happens through the eyes, but sometimes you don't even need to be looking at each other. And there's an energy that's flowing between two people, whether it's a parent and child or partners or friends, whatever the connection may be. But there's an energy that's flowing in which one can pick up what the other one wants to communicate without words, without vision, without touch. And so what's going on? Yes, the body is an instrument for communication, but the point I'm making is that soul can communicate with soul just with thoughts, just with vibrations, just with that energy, without necessarily using the mechanisms of the body that we have. And so who is it that's communicating? It's actually soul communicating with soul. And again, one of the problems that's come is that I forget this. And then instead of real communication happening, I think I am this and you are this. And so we're wearing different clothes. We look quite different. Our hairstyles are different. And so there's a hesitation, reservation. How am I going to communicate with this person?
But how will I feel about it, that I am that soul, you know? Like, because I feel the body. This is my identification, you know? This is what I know about it.
Yes.
So, how will I feel about it? How should I accept it, that I am a soul?
I think for me it was first a question of understanding. Because, in India today, there's wonderful education. And so I'm thinking about my own story and how, because there was a very good education that I received, it meant that it wasn't just memorizing things by heart, but you were taught to think. And so when I came to the path of spirituality, I wasn't going to just set aside my capacity to think and understand things. But the beautiful thing was I was told, think about it. Understand what it is all this is about. And then judge for yourself what is right. And so firstly, let me just understand that this body is an instrument. And it's I, the soul, that is actually deciding what it is to communicate and what it is I want to do through this body. But a strange situation has arisen. It's like having a car and a driver, and the driver is sitting at the wheel of the car, but the driver falls asleep. It happens sometimes, you know, people are so busy, they're so hard at work that then when they go on a long journey, they're exhausted. But that sleepiness comes for even a moment, and there's great danger.
There's chaos, actually.
Well,
you're letting the
accident.
Car take over, yeah.
Yeah. You know, how can the driver fall asleep for even a moment? He can't. And if he does, there's danger. And this is what's happened. How often is it that I say things that
I don't want to say,
I regret? Or how often is it that I'm seeing stuff and I know that it's polluting my mind?
I'll continue to see.
And I still sit and see it. And so it's like the driver has stopped taking charge of the vehicle. A very simple example. I love ice cream. Now it's going to get hotter and hotter. Everybody's going to enjoy more and more ice cream. But if because of that taste, I just continue to feed myself ice cream, what's going to happen? If I let my tongue dictate, then not only am I going to be quite huge, but also
it's going to create a lot of problems.
It's going to make me feel very unwell. It's not going to make me feel better and better and better. Eat a little bit and you feel great. Eat more and it makes you very unwell, actually. But the tongue doesn't know where to stop. It's the inner being that has to say, I understand. It's now time to stop. and then you can taste the flavor. You can enjoy the taste. Otherwise, just let the